All right, let's turn then to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're ending verse 4. I think we better look over verse 4 again. Make sure everything's all right. Let's begin by reading Hebrews 1, 4, 5, and 6. Beginning together at verse number 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith that all the angels of God worship him. All right, in verse 4, who's this referring to, being much more better? Being. Who's the being go back to?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Now it says, much better than the angels. What are angels? We talked to it a little bit last time, but how would you define angels? What were they? Who were they? How'd they get here?
Created beings.
Created beings, that's right. Who made them?
God.
God himself. What are the classifications of angels?
Several.
What are some?
Messengers.
They're called messengers?
Protectors.
What is it, Tammy?
Godly and ungodly.
Godly and ungodly, that's right. And then there's certain kinds of angels.
There's regular angels.
And what are the special angels?
Elect
angels. There's some elect angels, I guess, if you want to call them that. What else?
Seraphim
and cherubim. There's a different classification. And what about the messengers? Anybody a messenger angel?
Gabriel.
All right. Gabriel's a messenger, isn't he? And do you have an angel that's named?
Michael.
He's what? What's he? The archangel. All right. Who used to be the archangel?
Satan
or Lucifer. That's right. So, and why was Lucifer kicked out of that position? You want to say, I'll be like those guys? Bill?
Vanity was found with him.
Vanity, and he just didn't want to be anything to do with the Lord, so he just left him. And
he wanted to be like
him. All right, now, Tammy has some new classifications, good angels and fallen angels. What are the, how do the fallen angels get fallen?
Followed after Satan,
all right? They followed him, and so they became that distinction. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call. Questions or comments? Well, I guess Anna's here, but Anna, you're here with the... You have been out in the room, but you have the... That's right, he's here. You have the phone, do you? Okay, Anna's going to get the phone in case we call. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. All right, so then, being better than the angels, by inheritance, what is an inheritance? How do you define that?
Somebody who left some money.
Somebody left some money to somebody. That's an inheertance, all right? When somebody usually, when they die and they leave
right,
something,
yeah, they leave.
What does it take in order to make an inheritance? What does it take?
Death.
Death, that's the first thing. What else does it take? That's right.
No,
that's true. That's right. What else must take place before that there can be an inheritance, usually?
Will.
A will, okay, a will. Death first and a will. Now, if there's a no will, what do you call that condition? What is it?
Will has to be before the death.
The will has to be before the death, but there has to be at least a will, has to be death, that's right.
It doesn't come into effect until after the death.
All right, after the death, the will kicks. Now, what if a person does not leave a will? How is possessions disposed of?
The estate.
The estate. What does the estate usually do?
Keeps it, most of it.
Most of it keeps it, all right. What do we call a person that dies without a will? What's the big term? They die, what?
Not contested.
Not contested. What do you call it? It gets with in, doesn't it? Intestate, is that what's called intestate? The lawyer's not here today, but is that what it's called intestate? I think we're out of will. So it being with inheritance. Now it says the Lord Jesus had an inheritance better than they, more excellent name through the inheritance. What did the Father give to the Son as by way of an inheritance? Yes, Sam?
Many things, the nations.
All right.
Gives them the church.
All right. Is there anything the Father did not leave and give to the Son?
No.
He's heir of how many things?
All.
Of all things. And we mentioned that, I think, early verse. Was it not? Is it verse 3? Where is it? Heir of all things. Didn't we touch that? Verse 2. Okay. Been heir of all things. So, by an inheritance, better things than the angels. Now, there's some people who exalt angels above the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there a worship of angels today?
Yes.
What about the television show talking about angels? What was that about? I didn't see much of it, but does anybody remember what that was? The angels. What was it about?
Touched by an angel.
So what was that? What was the narrative? What did they do about all that? What was in it?
I didn't watch
any of it, but they're trying to exalt angels above the Lord, above anything else, just trying to make angelic beings something they can do. Yes, Sam.
Jehovah's Witnesses worship an angel, don't they?
Yes, what was his name?
Michael the Archangel.
Yeah, but what's another name? How did he get this?
Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel.
All right.
So their false Jesus is an angel that they worship, right?
And who gave him the plates?
That's
a Mormon. I'm sorry, I got the wrong. Now, the Mormons also have an angel. What was his name?
Moroni.
That rhymes with Mormon, doesn't it? Okay. He got the place. Okay, I got the twisted false teaching. So, the angels.
But the both groups have angels involved in there.
They've got angels involved in there, and it's wrong, see? And the exaltation of angels. Now, they've called, yes, Dick.
Whatever you say about angels, in Galatians 1, the Apostle Paul says, in verse chapter 1, verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that he have received, let him be a person. But there's something about angels now. Verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
But though we, speaking of himself, but although we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached,
that is a person. That's right. So, angels.
In, right.
Exactly, all the angels. Now, the people, yeah, Hannah. Is that Tammy?
Well, in that program, the angels would always identify themselves as angels. And there'd be a whole lot of light that would shine on them. So you could see, it was almost as they were receiving a lot of glory from themselves,
mm-hmm.
which a lot of times in the Bible, they don't identify themselves as angels.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, sometimes, they come as a man, and
mm-hmm.
nobody even knows.
Like later on in the book of Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
13.
Verse 14 of chapter 1. Go ahead, Dan. What does it say about angels?
Let's see. In verse 2, chapter 13, says, be not forgetful of entertaining strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares.
Mm-hmm.
See, angels, that's getting to the famous point that they're, many times, they're anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, in the Old Testament, they were misconstrued as being deity, but immediately, when the people that were humans that were giving them any attributes of deity,
mm-hmm.
they were immediately corrected and says, no, I'm not God, stand on your feet.
Mm-hmm. How did the angel in the Old Testament usually appear?
Like a man.
Was Abraham fooled by that? What does he say about it? Remember when they came to Abraham? Helped two angels? What did they want him? Yes, Sam?
Since we're talking about it,
mm-hmm.
all throughout the Old Testament, when we see the phrase, the angel of the Lord,
yes.
I believe that's a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
God, and he's mm-hmm. the only angel that's mm-hmm. spoken of in the Old Testament
mm-hmm.
that receives and allows the worship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we believe.
Yes, the angel of the Lord, that's right. So when disobedient, what was his name, Balaam, remember the angel of the Lord stood against him when he's trying to go and knocked him against the wall, and he cursed the ass that he was riding on and swore up him, why do you do this? And the ass around and spoke to him. Yeah, Dick.
Remember that here Paul was writing to Jewish believers, and all through the Old Testament, angels had a very prominent part and were very highly held by the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he's making the point here that Christ
mm-hmm.
far above the angels.
Far above the angels. Now, Dan.
I think that account of Balaam, he was writing, he saw the angel standing
mm-hmm.
in the pathway,
mm-hmm.
but he could not. So that indicates that there are angels that are fighting, that are present, we are not aware of.
Okay.
We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it is, angels are talked about as being able to view human beings and learn from them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the phrase is because of the angels. He's mentioned that.
First Corinthians 11, yes. The women, that's what you're okay. The women should have hair length probably because of the angels. Lest Genesis 6 take place again, which many of us fear was is angelic beings cohabiting with female. Because of the angel, that's good, Dan. Yeah, Dick?
Just thinking, we're not... Now, in the Old Testament, it wasn't that unusual for angels to appear. And as we said, in the form of man, often.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen today if we're driving down 295 and all of a sudden an angel appeared in front of us?
Interesting. Interesting. The panic, I think. Yes, Sam.
In Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, he says that the Jews have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it.
Yes, the disposition of angels. That's the first place in the whole Bible that says the angels are there to give me the law.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament's not there, but here it is. Skipping ahead in verse 14 of chapter 1, what's one thing the angels do for saved people today?
Ministering spirits.
And ministering spirits sent forth to those who shall be the heirs of salvation. So we talk about guardian angels, do you think? Anna's got something. Go ahead, Anna.
No, I'm not thinking of the TV, and I also don't find it.
All
right. Tammy, what a beautiful voice and beautiful song. I just love it. Thanks. In Christ, the Kosek.
The Kosek. That's way the Kosek's way up in Wisconsin. Wendy and Rick Kosek. All right. And a comment.
Well, I was just thinking about 2 Kings 6.
That false prophet?
16 through 17. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, as the host compassed the city, both the horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha.
All right, so there's angels that are not appearing. Yes, Bob?
I can't find what it says, but from what you're teaching, I don't know what book it was, maybe it was Galatians. We're teaching about the angels that were with Moses on the mountain.
Giving the law, I think Sam referred to that in Acts chapter, what was it?
But we found
seven?
It in Deuteronomy.
Is it Deuteronomy also?
I don't know where it is, but.
For the ministry of angels.
But you told us what it was, and I had it upstairs, but I can't.
Oh, okay.
It's in the Old Testament, in like Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy, the angels were there. All right. I didn't know it wasn't in Exodus, I guess.
Maybe it was Exodus.
Then, Sam, you got a reference to Deuteronomy?
One thing in reference to angels and Moses, it says in Jude 9, Mark, Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said the Lord rebuke thee.
That's interesting.
So there's Michael. Angels involved.
Yes. For the burial of Moses up in Mount Nebo, I think it was. Yeah, Dan.
And we have accounts of, ten legions of angels.
Yes.
Being available to the Christ anytime he wanted.
Guarding Gethsemane, wasn't it? Guarding Gethsemane.
Well, they're in temptation, I believe.
Yes.
Or I'm actually at least Gethsemane. I don't know which one it was.
Yes.
So
put that sword back in the sheath. Jesus. Should I pray the Father give me 10 legions of angels to deliver me? But it was his will. So I think it was Judas came out with a multitude and
or the Hebrew met with the if he were to cast himself off the middle of the temple,
then it would give the angels. That's another
prevented from hitting the ground.
Yes,
but in the garden, that's right. That's the 10 legions of angels.
That was there. Be 10 legions.
10,000, I believe.
1,000 legions. Yeah, it would be 10,000. So, now, if indeed, in verse 14, jumping here, okay, Dick.
Of course, at the tomb, as the Christ moves from there, the angels regarding the tomb,
yes.
It was seen by the women that came.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And those angels spoke, didn't they?
Yes.
They spoke in Hebrew, whatever the language that they understood, and did they understand the angels' speech?
Yes,
sure did. What did the angel say at the tomb?
He is not here, he is risen.
Well, why seek ye the living among the dead? See, that's right. So, if indeed, go ahead, Dad, yes, anything else? Go ahead.
And then the birth of Christ, where the angels appearing in the heavens to the shepherds.
Uh-huh. Well, they're singing or saying.
One
singing or saying. Saying, that's right,
yeah.
Saying.
Said.
Okay, so they didn't speak, they were saying, they said, all right.
I mean, either it was one angel at first, and then came...
Multitude of angels.
Company,
huh?
Of angels.
Company, all right. So if indeed verse 14...
They spoke, not, they didn't sing.
They didn't sing. So that so-called Christmas guy was wrong in his singing. So in verse 14, if this be the case, that the angels, ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who are the heirs of salvation. Does that include, does that mean that they're ministering even today in this capacity? Yes, it does. Now, when they minister to us, is it necessarily that we know that they are angels?
No.
Not necessarily. Do some people have experiences that are very strange and they think that an angel helped them? We don't know where that's... There's a scripture proof, but if you've seen people that have said that, what are some of the things that the people think that maybe an angel helped them?
Maybe car accidents.
You're just about ready to swerve off, and all of a sudden, and you're spared. It could be. It says in ministers, and the angels can't necessarily always be seen. Car wrecks. Some of our own children and daughters-in-law had some serious accidents, would-be accidents, and they tell to us that it seems like some voice, some angel said, leave the car immediately. They left the car. As soon as they left, this other car came by and smashed that whole car. It would have been killed completely. It's interesting. So,
he
thought it was a father or some angel, some kind. David was in a small apartment, and a numbskull that he foolishly let into the apartment, with long hair and the smokers, and he lit the, he had a Christmas tree, which we don't call a Christmas tree, but he lit that Christmas tree on fire, this guy did, and left and locked the door, locked David in. And David said he heard, what did he say? He heard a voice behind me do something.
He heard my father say, get out the bathroom.
Out the bathroom window. It was a little tiny window, but he squeezed in the bathroom. He got burned over how many percent of his body?
33%.
Whether this is true or false, I don't know. All I know is there's certain narratives that have said that there's been aid from some source that can't figure out what it was. Maybe it's a ministering angel. Yes, ma'am?
Diane told me something she doesn't talk about much because it's so different. She was driving, she was in Jacksonville, and she was a car hitter or something. And nothing was there but cars all over and big cement things. And she twirled around.
She spun around a couple times.
And she should have hit something. Well, what happened to her? She thought she was gone. What happened to her is a cocoon of light held her. She said, it sounds so funny, Mom. I don't talk healthy. If I had known it when I read my devotion book, I would have put it in with all those. But I didn't know it then. A thing of light held her. And she wasn't touched, the car wasn't touched,
nothing was touched. It's
amazing, she was ready. The crowd of the street was as crowded, there were cars as the places of chairs.
So whether it is or not, the administering spirits, that's the duty of angels, those that are the heirs of salvation. Who do those people be that were heirs of salvation?
All
who were
saved.
Saved, born again Christians, whether the believers ever saved. Yeah, Anna.
Remember also the angel says, he shall be heirs of salvation for that being, and like those who aren't even saved yet.
Yes, those that shall be, those are going to be saved one of these days. Yes,
My personal belief on what I know about Scripture is that every person, God knows obviously who's going to believe. Mm-hmm. And I believe from the point that person was born, there is a guardian angel that's sent there to protect and to preserve them until they will believe.
That's possible. We'll be called guardians. Yes, Anna?
What's that? We'll give an answer.
Yes, right. Yeah, Anna, go ahead.
The Lord passed away in everyone. We are thanking God for this morning's service and the preaching of God's words. To the glory of God. It is exciting to join you in this Bible study, as God has kept the internet open for us to see you and participate all the way from Canada. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus of it. Glorious to the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, thanks to 13. We are praying for each of you. We are waving to you and smiling with joy and thanksgiving in the Lord Jesus Christ, Anne Marie, and Betty.
Now let's wave Anne Marie and Betty Morgan. We're up in Canada. We're up in Canada. Thank you very much. Another one, Anna?
Another one.
Hello to everyone there and to everyone listening on the internet. I enjoyed the message and music this morning. The audio seems clear today. I'm glad to be able to join you all for Bible study. In Christ, Julie.
Julie Monahan, where is Julie in Ohio? Erie, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Julie. Any other, Anna?
Yes.
Okay, questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. So angels, more inheritance, the Lord Jesus is better than those angels.
Yes.
Well, actually,
did somebody find that where the angels were up with Moses on the mountain? I can't see.
And you wasn't in Deuteronomy? You couldn't find Deuteronomy the angels? Okay.
Deuteronomy or Exodus or whatever it is.
But you're sure it's Deuteronomy.
No, I'm not sure.
The law was given by the administration of angels. Angels were there as the law was given. That's what it says in Acts 7. And I thought that was the only place it was mentioned. I may be wrong. See if it is in Deuteronomy. I know it's not in Exodus, but it may be in Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law, Deuteronomos, second law, Deuteronomos.
I just did a quick search on my little handheld computer,
yeah.
And there's only four verses in the first five books of the Bible with the word angels, and they're all in Genesis.
All Genesis. So that's not in there.
Like, here, it might not be
here. Okay, you go up and find it, right, if you got upstairs. Climb the stairs and come back and down since if you...
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for.
All right, so the excellent name to me. Then notice in verse 5, under which of the angels at any time said he. Who's the he referred to? Oh, Dick, go ahead.
One more verse, please.
Yes.
Okay, Acts. When Paul was on his journey to the prison to Rome,
mm-hmm.
and they were about to be shipwrecked, and Acts 23.
Mm-hmm.
And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. There shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee.
So that was the angel of God that talked that to Paul. All right. That's a good verse. Now, which of the angels? Who's the he referred to? Said he at any time in verse 5.
God the Father.
God the Father. And he said, Thou art my son. So obviously that's right. Now, this day have I begotten thee. And now, yes, Dick?
That's from Psalm 2.
Yes, from Psalm.
That's the first time that the word begotten appears in the scripture.
All right.
And Psalm 2, verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee.
All right.
And then further, he also says, okay, that's it.
Okay, in John 3:16, this word begotten is used. What is the Lord Jesus called there?
Only begotten Son.
Only begotten Son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, did the Father send his only begotten Son into the world? Did the Father send the only begotten Son into the world? According to John 3:16, he gave his only begotten Son. Yeah, you think?
Follow up on the verse I just read.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 13, he's preaching at the synagogue of Antioch of Pisidia, and he says concerning, yeah. And concerning that he raised him
up. Well, go ahead.
Raised him up from the dead. Now no more to return to corruption. He said, On this wise I will give you sure mercy to David. Therefore he saith in another. Wait a minute, it's here somewhere. Here it is. Verse 33, I'm sorry. 13:33. God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And then he goes on and explains that the resurrection of Christ is the gospel our justification, from which you could not be justified by the law of Jesus.
Now, I'll point out a false teaching of John MacArthur. John MacArthur says, the only time where Jesus was the only begotten Son was at his bodily resurrection. But I point out John 3:16 to prove MacArthur wrong in this. It's a heretical thing, because how, if he only was the begotten, only begotten at his bodily resurrection, could he send his only begotten Son into the world? See, it's impossible. That was a title of the Lord Jesus Christ from all eternity. He's called the only begotten Son. So I just point that out because John MacArthur makes a big stress of that, and I think he's wrong in that. And then the last part of verse 5, he says, again, I will be to him a father, he shall be me to his son. Now, another thing that MacArthur teaches, he denies, or at least he used to, then he wrote a paper saying he changed his mind, but he used to deny, and maybe still does, the eternal sonship of the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? The eternal sonship. What does that mean, first of all? How would you define that? Excuse me, let me get this here and go ahead. Hello?
Good afternoon, Dr. Wade.
Yes.
Jonathan Novak.
Yes, Jonathan, hi.
Hi. I wanted to comment earlier on the early verses. I was not able to be there last week or watch. I was participating in a service in Philadelphia, but about the earth and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt fold them up as a garment, and you'll be a new heaven and a new earth. I think that's a very important thing that, you know, as we come in latter days here, there's effects going on in the heavens and the earth. And Jesus warned us of these, but I'm enjoying listening to the service there.
Good, that's good. We haven't yet come to that, Jonathan, but we'll come to that probably just later on or maybe next week. Good.
Well, that was earlier, I think. You hit verse 11, 12, 13.
Well, we haven't come there yet, Jonathan. We haven't just in verse 4 and 5. See, so you're jumping ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought you were in 14.
Oh. No. I jumped ahead in 14. Yeah, oh. Just jumped ahead. But
I'm sorry.
Okay. Good. Thank you for calling, Jonathan.
The participants are a little bit weak in the sound there.
The sound is weak. Okay, I'll push up the sound a little bit so they have a... Thank you very much for calling.
A little tiny bit.
Okay.
Thank
Let's wave to Jonathan in Philadelphia. Wave to Jonathan in Philadelphia. There you are, Jonathan. Thank you. All right, now, how would you define eternal sonship of Christ? Yes.
Does that mean he always was?
Always was what?
Always
called the Son. All right, but the eternal. Now, what's the difference between the eternal sonship of Christ and Christ being from eternity? What's the difference?
I don't see where there is a difference
between
always was.
But eternal sonship versus being from eternity. Okay?
If he was like the Son, he was just. I mean, he was not separate from the Father.
All right, he was not a son. You see, that's where MacArthur falls himself for years and years and years. A lot of people follow that teaching. Eternally, he was not the Son. He became a son only at his resurrection. This day have I begotten. See, he uses this quotation. That's when he begins. That's what MacArthur teaches. I don't say that. I don't know. John 3:16 again. Let's say that again. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If he sent his only begotten Son, could he not be a son? He had to be the Son in order to be sent. See, he was a son before he was sent. So MacArthur's wrong again on that one. Eternal sonship is taught in Scripture, I believe it's very clear. And this verse here, he said to me, you be a father, I should be a son. Now, MacArthur teaches the eternal Trinity, but how can he have an eternal Trinity, a father, without a son? How can he be a father? If you have this eternal sonship, then there's no father, because you can't have a father without sons. It's ridiculous. Yeah, Dick.
I was going to say there was some scriptures that involved the Son in creation. So he was certainly a part of the Trinity in that creation. And since he was part of the
Triune
God, he certainly is eternal.
Yes. So these things, yes.
But how could he not be eternal and still be yes.
But see, MacArthur is very clever. He says that he believes that the eternality of the Father, eternality of the Son, Lord Jesus, eternality of the Holy Spirit, but he wasn't called a son from eternity. That's the thing. He takes that title away from Christ and puts it at the resurrection, and that's it. So that's the error that we find in him.
Well, I think Paul settles that right here in Hebrews 1:2. Back in these last days, for the minutes by his son, from the point of view of all things.
That's right. So how did he speak to you by his son if you had to wait till the resurrection to get the son? See?
Yeah.
He's spoken about his son. That's a good verse. Yeah, that cast.
Well, I asked if you would repeat those two words about
eternal sonship.
And the other one
was that he was eternally, he was for all eternity. Just, he existed from eternity. Eternality. But was he an eternal son or just from eternity? So all these things, they're tightening in here, a lot of theological terms and so on, but I think we should be clear on that, that MacArthur's not only wrong in many, many other things, but he certainly is wrong in this area. He was eternally the Son of God, otherwise God could not send his only begotten Son. He was only begotten from eternity because he couldn't send his only begotten Son. See, so he had to be eternally begotten, only begotten, and eternally the Son of the living God. So this is important to say. Now, what does it mean when you have the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son and God the Father as the Father? What relationship do these two members of the Trinity bear one with another? What are their duties? What are their offices? What are their attributes?
Between Father and Son.
That's right. Are their attributes different one from the other?
The attributes are the same.
Equal attributes, yet the same.
I was just thinking that something just dawned on me that would have put this to bed instantly. Wasn't it when Jesus was baptized that a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son,
that's right,
in whom I am well pleased."
So how could the Father say that if he wasn't the Son until the resurrection, see? 33 years later.
But it was an audible voice.
Yes, yes, sure. That's a good verse. Yeah, Bill.
I have a little quote from Lewis Berry Schaefer.
Okay.
"For in the plan of salvation, God the Father is the source, Christ the channel, and the Spirit the agent."
Yes, that's good. The plan of salvation. So these things are very important. Yes, the cats. School scratching your nose. Okay. Also not scratching. Oh, I know this one. I may mistake that for a hand. Well, I try to be conscious of all movements, hand movements. Father and Son is very important to see. There's a relationship. But the attributes are absolutely equal. There's no different than the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. All right, give me some of the attributes of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Give me some of the attributes.
Holy.
Omnipotent, holy,
omniscient,
eternal.
Eternal.
Another omni.
Immutable.
What is it?
Is that one?
Yeah, that's one. Omnipresent. That's six of them. Anything? Yeah.
Holy.
We got holy, I think, before. Anything else? Righteous.
God is love.
Love, just. The many, many attributes, and every one of them is on equal basis. Now, do the liberals and modernists and unbelievers and the Unitarians believe the Lord Jesus had every attribute of God?
No.
Does some of the fundamental Bible-reading Baptists think that Christ had every attribute of God? What one attribute of the fundamental Baptists in the Independent Baptist Fellowship of North America, what is the one attribute that one of the speakers denied that the Lord Jesus had, if you remember? What was it?
Omniscience.
Why did that Brown fellow named Brown deny the omniscience of Christ? I think it was the same Brown that's the pastor right up there in North Jersey right now. That Pacific Baptist Church, I think it's the same Brown. Why did he deny that Christ was not omniscient? Why did he say he was not omniscient? You remember? "No man knoweth the day or the hour of the Son of Man, neither the Son," see. Well, as the Son of Man, that was not his opportunity, but as the Son of God, omniscient, he knew everything. See, it's the only place in the whole Scripture that questions the omniscience. And this man, named Brown, Pastor Brown, he said, since Christ did not know when the Son of Man would come, therefore he's not omniscient. And so this is horrible. What are some of the keys of his omniscience? Yeah, you got Tammy, and then Bill, and then Anna.
Well, Christ thought Nathaniel on
the exactly, that's one thing.
Before he
that's exactly right.
He couldn't physically see him. But he saw him.
What are some other examples of his omniscience?
Good, not in his humanity.
That's right. What are some other omniscient features? Yes, Chris, huh?
When before the Passover, he sent the disciples into the city and told them they'd run into certain people, they'd say a certain thing.
And they found an animal to go ahead.
Yeah.
But what about the woman at the well? What omniscience did he have there?
You know
how they have? You have Bill and then Anna.
Well, I think the first chapter of the Gospel of John solves everything and defines that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the life of men. Then it goes on and defines, Jesus Christ is the Word.
As the Word. So He has all the attributes, He's Creator and so on.
He's involved in everything.
Everything. So He is omniscient, no matter what. And Tammy, go ahead. Anna. Gets it mixed up. Go ahead, Anna. Oh, Tammy's first. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead, Tammy.
They look like twins. It's hard to tell them apart. Exactly.
You forgot what you were going to say.
Weren't there times, however, when Christ did not use his omnipotence or his omniscience? He knew all things, but yet there were times when he didn't use it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what we always define. The Lord Jesus said every single attribute of the Father, all these attributes we've listed, and He, as a perfect God and perfect man, He had the voluntary disuse of His attributes. He had them, but when Satan said, turn the stones into bread, He didn't use it. Voluntary disuse doesn't mean He didn't have the attributes. Some people say the Lord Jesus had no attributes at all of deity. Horrible heresy. The voluntary disuse of the divine attributes to satisfy Himself for His own personal gain. That's the definition we've got to remember. Next.
Similar to that, the Lord Jesus was good as well as an attribute of the Father was the ability to keep a secret.
Yes.
That's the mystery of the Gospel for
yes.
The foundation of the world.
No.
Lots of times Jesus purposely did not say some things,
mm-hmm.
although He knew them.
Yes.
He did not say them because it wasn't the right time to say them.
Well, He said it's not for you to know the times of the Father when the Lord Jesus would come back. See, yeah. He knew, but He didn't take it up publicly. Yes, Anna, go ahead.
Sure, just a minute.
Let me
just explain again. Well, Jesus said that He knew all things. All right, I found a couple of verses about angels that might apply to some of the things we've been talking about. Psalm 68:17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place.
As in Sinai.
Psalm 24:7. The angels of the Lord encamp us round about them that fear Him, and deliver us them.
Truly, thank you, Julie. Let's wave again. Second wave to Julie. Now, honey, that verse from Sinai, that's the one. Anna, what is that again?
Psalm 68:17.
Psalm 68:17. Thank you, Julie. Anna, got another one?
No.
No, okay.
I looked and lost.
Did you find it?
I couldn't find it because I didn't
want to
look, but I found it.
What is it?
I couldn't find it. Okay, I won't tell you what I found. Okay, in Galatians, in your book, Galatians 3:19, it was when you were teaching Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
That's in Galatians what?
Galatians 3:19
of Galatians, all right, go ahead.
You say that seed was the Lord Jesus Christ, as it said in earlier verses. Angels were there in the giving of the law. And you give the verse. This is the verse in Deuteronomy.
Okay, go ahead.
Deuteronomy 33:2. And He said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. And He came with 10,000 of saints, and His right hand went a fiery law for them. Then you say, saints or holy ones might be referenced to angels. When God gave the law of Moses, and God's beings apparently were there.
Good. Well, thank you for that man who wrote that book. Appreciate that. He's a very forgetful writer. Well, that's good. So we got several verses. Anna gave one from Julie and also from Deuteronomy, and Sam gave one from Acts, chapter 7. Good. All right. Very interesting. And now, did we read 6? We had 4, 5, and 6. We read 6, didn't we? But now in verse number 6, when he began to bring in the first begotten into the world. That word first begotten has been misconstrued by some. What does some teach and what is the answer to it? That's prototokos. Prototokos is what it is. Proto is first and tokos firstborn. Sam?
They teach that Jesus came into existence in his incarnation.
Okay, what are the groups that teach that? The end of the G. The Gnostics teach that. The Gnostics think he was a created being, see, in that sense. What is this title referring to? Anna, got something?
No.
Oh, okay. What is the title referring to?
I believe it's not a matter of his existence, but in his position.
That's exactly
like,
right.
Like in the Old Testament, it says one of the children of Jacob, God says, he's the firstborn. It says he's the firstborn, but he's really younger than the other one. But it's because he's going to rule over.
It's a title. This is exactly what it is. It's a title. It's not to say that the Lord Jesus Christ had a birth, a time when he wasn't in existence. He was from everlasting to everlasting, from the beginning to the end. So it's a title, first begotten. Yeah, Dick.
Think of Isaiah, unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given, not born.
That's right. And how could you give a son if he wasn't a son till the resurrection? It's another verse, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Good. We're getting some theology in here, some of these disputes that have been argued back and forth. Yeah, Vaughn.
I'm back on angels.
Okay, go ahead.
The chariot of God are 20,000 demons, even thousands of angels. See, when Elijah died and Elisha, I think that, I can't remember if they both had chariots of fire.
Elijah did, didn't he?
Some had horsemen. But when I was writing my devotions, I remember talking about the chariots of fire. Chariots of God, that maybe when we all die, maybe these angels come and take us, and you can't see them, but God can see them.
In the book of Luke, what describes that?
The story of Lazarus and the rich man. When Lazarus died, the angels carried him.
Okay. And what about in chapter 15 of Luke? Give me some angels there.
What is it?
Luke 15. The lost son, the lost coin, and the lost sheep.
When a sinner repents, there's joy in heaven.
Joy in the presence of the angels. See, there it is. So apparently when sinners come to Christ, the angels rejoice. The holy angels, not the ungodly angels.
So what is that Bible verse that Sam came up with?
He came up with Acts 7. You mean with angels at Sinai?
No, he just, you asked something about Luke.
Oh, he gave one about... Lazarus and the rich man Lazarus, Luke 16, yeah. Tammy?
So,
not quite right, okay. So, yes, Sam.
While we're at all this angel talk, maybe you can answer something for me. What does it mean when Jesus brings a child in the midst of them and he says, their angels are always before my Father's face or something? Is that what he said?
Yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah, they behold my Father's face. I believe that, Sam, that is talking about children, whatever the age was, whether 5, 6, whatever the baby was, it's a whatever the Greek term. At that point, before they've either accepted Christ or rejected him, they have a guardian angel that's watching over them. See, now, once they reject Christ, I think the angel is no longer a part of them. So that's one of the verses I use to show that little babies and up to a certain age in children are safe. They're not saved, but at least they're safe. They should die before they come to Christ. They'll be safe with Jesus. That's one of the verses. Another verse I use with when the little child of David died. I shall go to him, he shall not go back to me. So the certain ones, that's one of the verses that I use because they're little children. I don't know the age of the child. I'm assuming they're 4, 5, 6, I mean real tiny children. Because once they reach an age we call it an accountability, then they're true age. But Beverly, see, Beverly's like a little, her sister, mentally defective.
Yes.
Just like a little child, see? I think she's safe.
Amen.
And she's in heaven today, I think, because she just can't,
amen,
can't understand, see? So, all right. Then let's read, notice in verse number 6, when he brings the first begotten into the world, when did that take place? When did that take place? Who's the he referred to?
Bethlehem.
Yeah, Bethlehem. Who's the he referred to? He brings it.
Oh, the Father.
The Father brings it. Yeah, Bethlehem. And so, what did he say at that time? What should happen? What was happening? What did he command? Now, if you're to worship, if the angels are to worship him, who's higher and who's lower?
Jesus.
First begotten's higher and the angels are lower. Should you worship anyone but God?
No.
Remember even the book of Revelation. Stand up. Don't worship me. I'm just a man. I'm the angel of the church. In other words, a messenger. It wasn't a deity. And so we're not to worship people. Do the Roman Catholics believe that?
No.
Does the church teach that? What do they say, Tammy, about that? What do they practice about that? How do they go against that?
I don't.
But you said, though, cast your next Catholic. Do they worship men?
Mary, but I don't know.
Well, was she a human being, a sinner lost and bound for hell? She was until she came to Christ, if she did. But what do they say about Mary?
Well, I say she was born without sin.
Well, that's Immaculate Conception. Yes, Sam?
She
assumed in heaven, and now she's a co-redemptrix. Co-redemptrix with Christ. She's equal to Christ in redemption, see? Yes, yes.
Catholics pray to saints and to Mary, attributing to them the attributes of God.
Yes.
Omnipresence, omniscience.
Yeah.
When you know pray to another being that's not God, that's a false God.
Yes.
So
does God want us to pray to idols, for example? No. Yeah.
Of course they don't admit it, but Mary is not a virgin. She had children after.
That's
Christ.
Right. They don't want to admit that, though, do they? It's taught very clearly in Matthew. So, but all the angels of God worship him. And so when the angelic host at his birth said, glory to God in the highest, and earth peace to good will, and then that's what they said, wasn't that right?
Mm-hmm.
They're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And does Satan qualify here? Is he an angel of God? Is the angel of God?
Yeah.
We have yes or no. There's a divided house in this. Who's right?
Not anymore.
Oh, not anymore. Was he an angel of God?
He was.
But now is he an angel of God?
No.
Okay. He's one of the fallen angels, an evil angel. All right. So he does he worship the Lord Jesus Christ? No.
Will he be forced to his knee before cast into the lake of fire? It says every knee.
Every shall have things up in heaven, under the heaven. Now, you're right. He will have to. All the lost people, before at the judgment, great white throne judgment, they'll have to bow and say to the Lord, even though they're going to be sent to hell.
Even the movie stars.
That's right. Worship.
Bow down means to worship.
That's right. Bow down and worship. And so let the angels of God worship him. We should not worship man and the companion. When you have the false reading in the book of James, I read the verse this morning, and it says, with a false translation, it doesn't say confess your sins one to another, confess your faults. That's the King James. The false Gnostic text, the critical text, changes that to sins instead of faults. Different Greek word.
Yeah.
And when you go to the priest on confessional, what are you doing?
Confessing
your sins to man, see? And God says confession is 1 John 1:9. Let's say that, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who's that to be confessed to?
God.
To God. Yes.
So
for believers, see, that's for believers. Yeah.
Can you tell me what that is? Fault. When it says faults, there. What are we to confess to one another? Our fault, as far as faults.
Yeah. I would say things that we've done wrong, things that we've offended our brethren in, etc., and things that we want to change our mind about. We're sorry about it. I misspoke myself. I'm sorry. I apologize. That's a fault, not a sin. See, we confess sins to God. Yeah, Dick.
Oh, you're right. That's what I was going to say.
Uh-huh.
But our sins, if we sin against God, then if you're not involved in it, just between me and God.
Yes, yes.
I have no business confessing that sin to you.
Yes, that's right.
But if I have said something wrong behind your back,
yes.
Then that's when that's a fault, and I just confess it to you.
Now, the question is, who do you confess it to? To the person that you've offended, or the whole church in some big meeting? Now, let's listen about it. Very careful about it. What do you think? Some people teach that. Confess it before the whole church got to confess, even though you've committed the fault against one person. Dick?
It's my opinion, but if you've committed something against one single person, it's nobody else's business.
Yes. All right, I agree. And that
now, if you sin that affects the whole church,
sure, that's a different matter. Different matter. Sam?
I think I disagree here, and here's why. The verse says this. It says, confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. And what I believe is that those two things are linked together. Not that we're going to confess these things to these people for forgiveness, but we're telling them exactly the sins that we're struggling with in our lives so that they can more accurately pray for us. So if I say, this is what I did, I sinned against you in this way, not against you, but this is how I sinned against the Lord in this way, then that person, when they pray for me, can specifically pray for me to overcome and have victory over that specific sin that I'm struggling with. That's how I understand
it. Yeah, I don't see any difference.
Yeah.
Maybe you see the difference in what he said and what you said, but maybe you see the difference. Anyway,
we're still part of the body of Christ, and we're still told and said that we should pray for one another.
So,
in a sense, he's got a point there.
Yes.
Because when we meet for prayer and at the first, but still at the same time, if it's a very personal sin, this is a very personal
person. It's not a confession of a fault.
I don't think that is a need to be aired.
Yeah, it's not a confession of a fault, simply telling what your faults were, and you're trying to ask for prayer requests. See what it is. Anna.
Dear Pastor Nate, hello and good afternoon. I just want to say hello to everyone. Thank you for today's Bible study. We are listening here in California from Joe and Norma Foster.
Joe and Norma Foster, California. Wave to California. Can you reach that far? You want waving? Good, thank you. What about Matthew 6:18? What does the Lord Jesus say in an example of how to deal with sin? One, two, 3 points. What's the first one? Go to your brother. If he says again, go right there. If he doesn't hear you, what are you supposed to do? What's the second one? Take how many?
Two or three.
Two or three others. If they don't hear the two or three others, then what? Take it to the church. See, that's a principle, even though the church didn't begin at that point. I mean, that's a principle of how to deal with things. And so that's pretty clear, isn't it? That's a private thing. Now, let me ask you this. Some people say you should never go public and expose somebody publicly when they have publicly preached or talked or written in a book about something. Some Christians say you should never go ahead and write against those people that are public. Are they right or wrong?
Wrong.
Why? That's right. Why? That's right. Why are they wrong?
Because not only does the Scripture command pastors and shepherds of God's people to warn them, but Paul, the apostle, several times names of people teaching Paul's doctrine.
And the distinction is, if a person is publicly in writing or speaking said something, we have a right to publicly in speaking right to say something against them. See, See, that's why I never say anything about any of these fellows who haven't written, whether it's MacArthur, whatever it may be. Yeah, Anna.
Nothing.
Oh, you're fanning yourself? Okay, she's looking up at the thing I got. Okay, so that's important. That's important to see that's the way it happens. So may all the angels of God worship you. Now, in the temptation of the Lord Jesus on the mountain on that hill, how did Satan try to get the Lord Jesus to worship him? And what did the Lord respond to him? Okay, what did he say? Go ahead, Sam.
He offered him all the kingdoms of the world and showed them to him in a moment of time.
If you fall down and worship me. Mm-hmm. And what was the quotation of the Lord Jesus gave him?
Could
be having Satan. And what else?
Thou art favor, not the things of God.
Okay. And what the other temptation? What did he say?
Thou shalt worship the Lord your God.
And only shall thou worship me. So, in other words, he quoted the Scripture, the Lord Jesus quoted the Scripture to refute the satanic temptation. Very interesting indeed. Yeah, Dick.
Another example of of worshiping another person.
Mm-hmm.
How about Peter and House of Cornelius?
Mm-hmm.
Cornelius started to bow down and worship Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter took him up and said, don't worship me.
Yes.
I'm just a man like you are.
That's very, very important. Very important. We're going to stop right here with this verse, and we'll pick it up, Lord willing, next Sunday, verse number 7. Verse number 7. But do you have any other comments or questions, though, before we close? Either questions of Bible for the better.